Anybody excited that spring is here? Yes? All right, I see some witness. That's good. I like spring too. I like spring. But I got to thinking this week, after today, it's a week and a half, and then I'll be off on that mission trip to Africa. You know, when you're planning for something, it kind of look far, and then you look at like, oh, the time is right here. You know, and I see Brittany saying yes, because in a little while, she'll be off to Kenya too, you know. And before you know it, July 3 will come around. It's going to happen, you know. But I am excited for what God is doing. And today we celebrate the highest service in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is communion service. It doesn't get any higher than that, you know. Doesn't get any higher than that, because Christ died for us. And that's what I want to just remind the congregation of today, is that he died. And because of Jesus' death, that's why we are here, literally. And that's why we will be in eternity, all because of Jesus Christ. Why don't we take a moment to have prayer together? Let's pray. Father and our great God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege of worship. We thank you for the privilege to know you as our Lord and our God. Even though I have different discussions with different ones, Lord, there are so many people who don't understand who you are, who don't understand that there is a creator. And Father, we thank you for this privilege, this light that you've shed on our way. We also are excited that we've come to know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior from sin. And it is by his grace we are alive, and it is by his grace that we are now a part of the family of God. Bless us in your word today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Today, as you can see in the bulletin, we're talking about worthy is the Lamb. And I just got into here the very end of the scripture reading, coming to us from Revelation chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb. Anyone here reared lambs before? All right, very good. Ginger has some experience. And Brother Earl, it's good to see you in the house of God today, you know. It's good when we revive and we are back in God's house. Well, you've raised lambs before. Was there any special lamb that you had, Ginger? It was a special lamb. The one that the mother rejected. Quite a parallel there. No, did you have a name for this lamb? Nikki. Dickie, all right. So she raised Dickie. And funny enough, the lamb we're talking about is a male today too. Worthy is the Lamb. And funny enough, Isaiah 53 is about the rejection of that lamb, isn't it? The whole chapter of Isaiah 53 talk about the suffering servant. He was despised and rejected of men, just like Dickie. But we have a lamb today that is, it still mystifies me how the creator can become the created. I must say that's one of the humbling point in my theological studies, in my biblical studies, the fact that the creator God can become one of the created. I don't understand it. I must tell you that. I accept it, but I don't understand it. And that's the difference between the God we serve and every other creature that is called God. Our creator God sacrificed himself for us. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, I want you in your mind to picture with me as they made their way through the dusty streets of Palestine, Jerusalem to be exact. They were headed to what became known as the upper room, and they were going to celebrate the Passover. It would turn out to be what we now call today the Last Supper. With dusty feet, they arrived. But culture dictated that the greatest was served by the lowliest. Lords were served by commoners. The 12 were no different. All they needed was provided. A pitcher of water, a basin, a towel. But no one wanted to perform the menial task of customary foot washing. A teaching moment arose, and Jesus, as God in the form of man readily used the moment. In John chapter 13 and verse 13, and that's our first text today. You can open in your Bibles to John 13 and verse 13. Let us see what Jesus teaches there. John chapter 13 and verse 13. The word of God says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." Now, a question to you is, do you agree that Jesus is, and do you accept Jesus as your teacher and Lord? Yes. Now, Jesus' following statements reveal a few things. And the first one is that being aware of his impending death, Jesus says in Luke 22, 15 and 16, he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." So here was Christ telling plainly that his suffering was just around the corner, and his disciples missed it all. You know, the disciples blinded their own eyes by jealousy, by jockeying for position, by pride and self-esteem. And one thing you would know, for those of us who've come to know the Lord, is that humility is a hallmark of Christianity. Amen? If Christianity is real, if a person is a genuine Christian, that person must be humble. Amen? Yes, to be humble is to be Christ-like. But these disciples refused the ordinance of humility. So what did Jesus do? In John 13, verses 4 through to 6, it says, "Jesus rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded." You see, it is easier to say that Jesus is my teacher and Lord than actually demonstrating the same. Amen? Many people consider their feet too intimate for someone else to touch, for someone else to watch. And there are people, possibly right here at Elmira, that when it comes to communion Sabbath, they stay away from church. And it's all because they do not want to be a part of the foot washing services. Other people are just sensitive. But what would hinder any of you here today from participating in Christ's ordinance of humility? Is it envy? Is it spiritual blindness or malice? Is it jealousy or self-esteem or pride? Is it some form of dissatisfaction? You know, as Christ stooped to wash their feet, the disciples understood the unspoken rebuke. They were all filled with shame. And it was Peter's turn to be washed, and he broke the awful silence, but his speech made it clear that he still did not understand. In John, continuing chapter 13, beginning in verse 6, the word of God says, "Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?'" Verse 8, Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And then verse 9 tells us, Jesus said, Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my head and my hands." You know, while impetuous and hasty to speak, Peter truly wanted to serve God. At one time, Jesus even told him, "Peter, truly, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak." That was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus spoke so clearly to Peter that it did not take much convincing. Peter was not ready to wash anyone's feet and himself be washed. It's there in verse 9. Simon Peter said, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now I want to bring to your attention a quote from the book Desire of Ages, page 48. Ellen White writes, it would have been an almost infinite humiliation for the Son of God to take man's nature, even when Adam stood in his innocence in Eden. In other words, there was a time when there was big theological debate in the Seventh-day Adventist Church about what nature did Jesus take. But the prophet of God says, even if he took the nature of Adam before the fall, it would still be an almost infinite humiliation. How could the sovereign Lord, Creator God, become a human being and become one of us? And he was born, by the way, in the lowliest of places. He was born in an animal shed. We use a nice name, we say manger. What's that? It's an animal shed. Yes, an animal feeding trough. That's where our Jesus was born. And you know what? He wasn't born in the nicer side of town either. He was born on the rough side of the tracks. He was born in Nazareth. That place had a reputation. And Nathanael was not exaggerating when he asked, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Yes, Jesus bent down to the lowest of the low in order to save us. And sometimes we have too high an esteem of ourselves, and that's what gets us into trouble. We ought to realize that each of us inside this place today, each person in the hearing of my voice, is a terrible sinner. And without the Savior, it doesn't matter what record we claim for ourselves, without Jesus, we're lost. But thank God for our loving Savior, amen? He would not leave us up to our own devices. He wants to save us. And I want to bring you this news this morning. There is none of us who've done anything so bad that our Heavenly Father cannot forgive us. Whatever it is we have done, Jesus is willing today to forgive us and to cleanse us and to give us a brand new beginning. I love my God. He is worthy. Jesus is the word of the Lamb. And so the prophetess says that it would have been an almost infinite humiliation for Jesus to have taken the nature of Adam, even when he stood in his innocence in Eden. As Creator God, here's how the quote continues now. It says, but Jesus, but, I don't want you to catch that but. Remember, it would have been an almost infinite humiliation if he took Adam's nature when he stood in his innocence in Eden. But Jesus accepted humanity when the race had been weakened by 4,000 years of sin. Now, that is something to consider. You know, when Paul studied it, he simply declared, this is the mystery of godliness. That's the best he could come up with. 4,000 years of sin. He took that human nature. And by the way, it was in that human nature that Jesus conquered Satan right here on this earth, lived a perfect life. It says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was making a space in eternity for you and for me. What an awesome God. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, have you grasped the significance of foot washing? I hope you have changed your mind about it and recognize that Christ is in it. I can truly say of myself, when I really count the cost of what Christ did for me, I can truly say, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And so in John 13, verses 13 to 15, this is how John wraps this section up. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet,
You also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Here's another quote for you. Volume 1 of Testimonies to the Church, page 59. And I kind of delete some portions just to make the point I want to make. But it's the same paragraph, so you can read it all. The 144,000, when last you heard about them? Are you a part of the 144,000? I believe I am. And I hope you believe you too. It says, the 144,000 were all sealed and perfectly united. And this vision, by the way, is set in the time of trouble. It says the wicked were enraged, right? And would rush violently upon the righteous. But it says the righteous would stretch forth their hand in the name of Jesus, and the wicked will fall helpless to the ground. And it says it was then that the synagogue of Satan knew that God loved us who could wash one another's feet. And I say all that just to say that last part. The synagogue of Satan knew that God loved us who could wash one another's feet. You know, before this final crisis comes, John actually saw a great situation of grave concern in heaven. God gave a vision to the aged Apostle John. There was an extremely important book that no one could open, and yet John knew that this book was extremely important. And so, in Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, John says, "But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals.'" Amen. John says, "And I looked." Now here he's talking about the Lion of Judah. And the lion is the king of the beasts. Amen. The lion is powerful. And we just saw a man, a week ago in South Africa. He's from England and he owns this game reserve there. And there's this lion that he raised from a cub. And somehow he ended up in that lion's cage. And that lion mauled him. He was trying to make his escape, but it was too late. And this guy is heavy set, maybe 250 pounds. But that lion picked him up like he was a straw. And just walking around with him. They had to fire some shots after that lion to release him. The lion is powerful. The lion is the king of the beast. The lion take down just about any other beast in the jungle. The lion is powerful. The lion is king. And here Christ is described as the Lion of Judah. But I want you to go to verse 6 of Revelation 5. John says, "And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a who? A lamb." What a contrast. Moving from the lion to the lamb. In the midst of the throne stood a lamb, as though it had been slain. Well, I want to let you know that when Jesus is coming to us in matters of salvation, he's the lamb. Amen? He comes to us meek and gentle. You know that little kid's prayer? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child. Yes, he comes to us meek. But I want you to know that Christ's meekness is never to be taken for weakness. Amen? He is the Lion of Judah, which, by the way, is a kingly title coming from Genesis 49 and verse 10. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, unto whom shall the gathering of the people be." Jesus is Almighty God. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is Lord and Savior. And yet, he's our sacrifice, the word the Lamb. In the midst of the throne, John saw this Lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, and I have told you before, a more accurate translation would say, which are the sevenfold spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in symbolism in Revelation. Amen? So we see Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in tandem for our salvation. Amen? We don't see Jesus today, but Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter who has taken over the work on earth. And it is the Holy Spirit that brings us into remembrance of all things that Jesus has taught us. Yes, my friends, he had seven horns. And by the way, when you get into the bee study, you learn about seven horns. There were ten, three were plucked up, leaving seven. I tell you, Satan has nothing original except sin. But everything he does, he tried to copy what Jesus does. Amen? Yes, Jesus is described as the Lamb here with seven horns and seven eyes, kingly power, and the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. But catch this, remember why John was weeping? No one was found in heaven or on earth or under the earth. No one who died was found worthy to open this book. But he said, then he came, this Lamb, this Lion, who is this Lamb? The Lion of Judah, who is the Lamb of God. This Lamb, he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down prostrate before the Lord. They fell down and before the Lamb, each having a harp, making music unto the Lord. Amen. Making melody unto the Lord. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Sounds like the work that the three angels' message must do. Amen? Yes, you have redeemed us and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. Praise be to God. When I look at what is happening in the world today, when I see Mike Pompeo and Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin and name the rest of the leaders around the world, Theresa May, when I see these who call themselves the kings of the earth, when I see how they handle business, I'm so glad that we are in the business with Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you see them fighting for this little piece of real estate and this little country and annexing the Crimea and all that stuff, when you see all that, don't worry. This whole thing is going to be ours. Amen? Amen. It says, we shall reign as kings and priests on the earth. God's going to make this whole thing new. And guess what? We won't have to put up fences and barriers and build walls and all that kind of stuff. We're going to have an earth free of sin, free of anything that harm or hurt in all God's holy mountain. That time is fast coming. It's fast approaching. What's my word for you then this morning? Let's stand with Jesus Christ. Let's consider that he is worthy. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our attention. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. You know, Christ instituted the Lord's Supper in place of the Passover, memorializing his great sacrifice for us. This Lord's Supper, along with the ordinance of foot washing, constitutes the communion service. And the communion service is a great festival of the new covenant. Today, why don't we partake worthily of what Jesus has done for us? He himself says, as often as ye do this, ye do show forth my death till I come. Till I come. We're going to separate momentarily, and we have a song that we'll sing at least the first stanza of for our separation. We will go wash one another's feet, and then we are going to come back and we'll participate of these emblems that represent the Lord's body. Hymn number 335. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Unfortunately, today I can't stay with you for lunch. Somebody say, oh. What happens? We have our first follow-up Whole Foods plant-based community dinner at Tioga County Church at 1 o'clock. I know I get there a little after 1, but that's fine. And we have guests, and that's something we hope is coming to Elmira as well. Because we see people have the interest in health. And where the people's interests are, we will meet them there. And when people get to know us and see what we're about, they'll want to know the other stuff we believe too, amen? And we are told that the health message is the entering wedge to many a home and many a heart, amen? So we start there.